Bishop on Air, back at it with you. Like, subscribe, hit that notification bell if you want to be notified when we are live or if we post new segments. And typically how the show goes is I go live to tape for a set duration. Who knows? Could be 30 minutes, could be 40 minutes, could be 10 minutes. Depends on the day. But then we segment out things that you can then double back and check on if you can't make the live show. But good morning to those who do make the live show. A lot of you pouring in this morning. James, Pat, Brett, Doobie Lou, Jerry, Morris, Captain Mike, Ricardo, Treston, Lil Cooker, Tattooed Squirrel, Till Valhalla. I think Roman got the first good morning, Greg, and all. So if there was some kind of prize to get, Roman, I think, okay. All right, who's the smart guy? Somebody named Greg Bishop. That's the first I've ever heard of Greg Bishop. That's pretty funny. Morning. So, appreciate you guys. We've got some things to tackle. Of course, this is going to be a big week when it comes to the challenge of Illinois' gun and magazine ban. You've got the U.S. Supreme Court going into conference on the 16th of this week. And they're going to be taking not just several Illinois cases, also one from Maryland. And they're going to be considering whether or not to take that case. And we'll see what happens. But before that, there's a status conference in the Southern District of Illinois Federal Court, which will review the latest filing from the states with the lists and just hundreds of pages that they have for their various experts. So stay tuned for that. We'll share a conversation I had with William Kelly from Chicago to give us the latest on crime over the weekend and some of the highlights leading into the DNC this summer. So stay tuned for that. And also we'll get you some of the back and forth about proposed prison closures here in the state of Illinois and the economic impact that's expected to have. So stay tuned. Plenty to get you here with Bishop on Air. Like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. Appreciate you guys. You know, there was something I did want to do before we get into some of the news headlines here, and that is to share with you some of the photos I grabbed of the Northern Lights coming all the way down to southern Sangamon County in central Illinois. This was pretty wild, actually. If you guys didn't get a chance to see this, man, you missed out. But of course, we had some just beautiful Northern Lights that were lighting up the sky. Megan and I, my wife, we were able to kind of travel about a mile outside of town just as the sun went down. And we stopped at like a kind of an open farm area that you pull off just to the side of the road. When we started seeing kind of these tendrils of strange lights, and we get out of the truck and we look off into the distance, and you could see it faintly with your naked eye. But when you took a picture with your cell phone, especially when it did the extended exposure, it really highlighted the pinkness of this. I'll show you some more of those here in a moment. But what happened? Of course, last week, you had a pretty significant solar storm activity that was taking place, and I grabbed some of the initial imagery that NASA and the National Oceanic Atmospheric Association put together. And these, of course, are compositions of different types of instruments collecting data and predicting data. And you see here on the left, the sun had a pretty significant kind of expulsion of sorts, a sunspot And in the middle, if you're watching along, you can see the coronal mass ejection is the CMEs. And right there, you see a big kind of burst. Well, that big burst, the most significant bursts that we've experienced. And what's interesting is it's not just something blasted out into space. This one was coming right at us. So they had some significant concerns about the possibility of it impacting HF frequencies for, say, communications, long distance communications. There were other concerns about, the possible impact it had on energy infrastructure and some of the other things. GPS, power grids, satellite navigation. Didn't hear anything too extensive as to those types of impacts. However, when it came to the prospect of seeing those northern lights stretch down all the way into central Illinois, I mean, it was pretty remarkable, and I'm glad that we were able to get out and had clear enough skies in central Illinois to see this. So the pictures really don't do it justice. There were these bursts. This kind of shows it a little bit where it was overhead and you could see just how gorgeous and kind of supernatural it was. But clearly, this was something that we did not see down in southern Illinois or haven't seen. I don't know when that was the case. But as you can see, the wife and I had some fun taking pictures, seeing the northern lights off into the distance. Very cool stuff. And I just wanted to share that with you guys. Got to take a break. Come back and tell you about the latest in gun control litigation here with Bishop on Air. Challenge against Illinois' gun and magazine ban. We've got a status hearing on the 15th that Southern District of Illinois Judge Stephen McGlynn's going to hold with the litigants and the U.S. Supreme Court going into conference on the 16th to consider whether or not they take Illinois' case, but also a case out of Maryland. Could that lead to some kind of consolidation here? So it's a big week. Glad to help keep you updated here with Bishop on Air. Like, subscribe, hit that notification bell, and join us each and every weekday as we break things down to hopefully get you to a place where you understand where we're headed. All right, let's go to the Southern District of Illinois federal case where Judge Stephen McGlynn had this case in front of him way back in April, actually even earlier than that. We're talking back in January when this case was filed, January of 2023. So pulling up the docket here on the federal court's PACER account, and you've got the complaints that was filed, and then they were consolidated, and then you had the motions that were filed, and just goes on and on and on. And you can see here all of the different entries on the docket all throughout 2023, when in late April of 2023, an order was made granting a preliminary injunction. Although the order specifically identifies the Barnett plaintiffs, the caption also references the consolidated cases, Harrell, Raul, Langley versus Kelly, Federal Firearms of Illinois versus Pritzker. So an order was granted for a preliminary injunction back in April of 2023. But then you had the defendants in this go to the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, and a stay was issued, and that was just a handful of days later. It was like 6 days, right? So an order granted on April 28th of 2023, and then a stay granted on May 2nd, 2023. This is all old news, right? So as that stay was granted by the appellate court, they then heard the case, and ultimately they decided that on a preliminary basis, the appellate court said that those consolidated cases from the Southern District, the state's likely to succeed on the merits. And that was the appeals court's decision. Not on the merits, it was on a preliminary issue, right? So now that the issue on a preliminary basis has been dealt with by the appeals court, it went back down to the district court and Judge Stephen McGlynn's East St. Louis court, where they are moving forward with the merits. So we've seen, of course, status hearing, filing after filing, different types of motions being made. And then we get to on Friday, the state, they did file a notice that they've got a whole bunch of disclosures. All right. They've got reports from various experts that they've lined out. But before we get to that outline of the experts that they lined out, you've got last week we talked about this. The court was in receipt of a motion for extending a filing by the state, looking for an extension of the deadline. The court granted that in part, but denied it in part. And what was interesting was, when you break down what that report actually did, talked about Dr. Schreiber. Dr. Schreiber, they said, wasn't available. Somebody reached out to me and showed me that Dr. Schreiber, apparently, as it's been reported, was on administrative leave from the hospital that they worked for and the university they worked for. So check this out. This is rather fascinating. OHSU puts rainmaking trauma surgeon on administrative leave. Dr. Martin Schreiber has helped raise millions for the university. And this was in April of 2024, so just last month. Oregon Health and Science Universities put trauma surgeon Martin Schreiber on administrative leave after a complaint about him from a resident, a person familiar with the matter, said. So maybe the state's not going to be able to get this expert. Regardless, the state has a list of tons of other experts that they filed with the court yesterday. I'm not going to go through the hundreds of pages here. I may read it on some free time I've got, but you can clearly see the total number of pages. Rather large. All right, so you got a report from James Yurgolestis, 101 pages, a report from Phil Andrew, 87 pages, Dr. Stephen Harkenton, 78 pages, Brian DeLay, 87 pages, Robert Spitzer, 321 pages. I'm sure that's, easy reading. By the way, I think the Second Amendment, how many words are in it? Some of you guys can tell me, but, you know, a well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. How can you mitigate that with 321 pages? I guess that's, to be seen by the courts, as is filed here. So again, a long list of different experts that the state's looking to have, but clearly this is all ramping up to the status hearing before we get to some kind of trial, which could happen in July, as we're being told. The judge has put on a tentative schedule, telling litigants that he's looking at maybe July 8th. All that could change if the U.S. Supreme Court takes these cases. When are we going to find out about that? Not too sure. There's a conference that the U.S. Supreme Court has on the 16th. It's the day after the status hearing on the 15th at the Southern District of Illinois Federal Court. But the U.S. Supreme Court going into conference looking at these cases and also a case out of Maryland. So we'll be watching to see what happens here. But fascinating to watch, and hopefully you're keeping updated and informed as well as to what exactly we have here in front of us. So I do just want to briefly view just this one document here from the court that just outlines, rather the plaintiffs and the defendants, I should say, the litigants. State defendants disclosure, in accordance with federal rule, defendants Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul, Governor Pritzker, State Police Director Brendan Kelly, disclosed the following expert witnesses. It's just pretty much telling them accompanying these disclosures are written reports from the first 10 of these 11 witnesses. Of course, Martin Schreiber, we don't have, and we talk a little bit about that. In accordance with the rules, the court's order April 11th, in accordance with the court's order May 7th, the state defendants do not include the report from Dr. Schreiber. So we'll have to wait to get Dr. Schreiber's report, but is Dr. Schreiber's report going to be as extensive as, say, Spitzer's report, which was 300 plus pages? I guess we'll have to wait and see. All right, so hopefully that keeps you updated. We'll talk more about this as it progresses throughout. So appreciate you being here, liking and subscribing and sharing it up, and we'll keep you posted as we get more details. All right, it's Bishop on Air. Appreciate you guys being here each and every weekday morning. Like, subscribe, hit that notification bell, and email me bishoponair@gmail.com. Another violent weekend in Chicago with some security footage pretty troubling, and you've got statewide Democratic office holders who are demanding justice and some actual peace to be brought to the streets of Chicago. Welcome back, Bishop on Air. I talked with William Kelly, a reporter out of Chicago, and he details some of the violent crime we saw over Mother's Day weekend. Let's get to William Kelly here. Conversation I had with him this morning. And go. One, two, three, go.
Oof. Well, Greg, God bless you, and thank you for keeping a spotlight on Chicago. Well, you know, we routinely rack up double-digit shootings and murders in Chicago, and Mother's Day weekend is no different, apparently. But it's the specific outrageous examples that I think need to be highlighted. A 24-year-old father of two who was reportedly going to propose to his girlfriend on Mother's Day was shot and robbed in Chicago on camera, you know, obviously with these Ring cameras, I'm assuming. We do have viral video of more and more of these shootings, which makes it more real for people. Zet Rodriguez, 24-year-old father of two, on his way to work, and he was first shot and then robbed. Okay, so this is what I believe is a little bit of a moment for us in Chicago. He wasn't robbed and then shot in the process of a robbery gone bad or something like this. No, he was preemptively shot and then robbed. The suspects are two brothers who were arrested and then good question, but I guarantee you this, Greg, we will get to the bottom of this one today.
And we were flashing a bit of the video, and the video was actually shared by Illinois Comptroller Susana Mendoza, which, by the way, Twitter tells me is her birthday this morning. So happy birthday to the Comptroller. But she says on her Twitter page, this is absolutely horrific, sickening. May God give his family strength, and may the monster that murdered him be brought to swift justice. This is out of control lawlessness. It's destroying our city and destroyed his family. My heart goes out to the victim and his family. And again, this is after this video was shared pretty widely on social media of in broad daylight. And apparently this is not considered a crime-ridden neighborhood, but still something that is happening on the streets in Chicago. And then the comptroller, she shares an update where they did get somebody in custody. And she says, excellent, lock him up forever. Is this sentiment being shared by others on the streets of Chicago? A question I asked to William Kelly.
Well, I'm sorry to tell you, Greg, there's zero justice. We're not seeing any justice. Let's put it that way. And that's going to result, I guarantee you, that's going to result in more violence over the summer, because you have people who, on the one hand, don't think that there are any consequences to crime. A 15-year-old boy was stabbed in the back, broad daylight on North Dearborn Street and West Lake Street in Chicago last night, okay? Or yesterday afternoon, I should say. To give anyone hopefully a little perspective on this, across the street from the Goodman Theater, can you picture this? Greg, this is where I went to go see A Christmas Carol, okay? So, yeah, I'm telling you, it's not the Chicago that we loved and remembered, Greg.
So a lot's going to happen when it comes to the perception here and when it comes to the actions that law enforcement and even criminal prosecutors take moving forward. But when it comes to the schools in Chicago, I mean, listen, they've got more than 300,000 students, 600 different schools. They've got a new teacher's contract they're getting ready to put together. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson coming down to Springfield, looking to connect with legislators to try to advance some of his priorities and maybe score some state taxpayer funding for Chicago for different things. But they've got this CTU contract that's kind of just lurking in the background. And whether or not that contract is going to be approved, this is something that even William's talking about, getting his hands on a draft of sorts and looking at some of the provisions that the Chicago Teachers Union is looking to secure as the Chicago mayor makes his trip down to Springfield last week.
Wow. Well, you know, you got a front row seat of that during his visit to Springfield. You know, I mean, as the son of two Chicago public school teachers, it breaks my heart to read the contract. It reads like a modern day Marxist manifesto. We see a lot in the contract about complementary abortions, kicking the police out of the schools, at a time when, by the way, there are an all-time high cases of teacher-on-student sexual violence, abuse, and rape. You got to ask yourself, why do the teachers want the police out of the schools? You know, I mean, there might be more than one reason. Who knows? But there's nothing in this contract about actual reading and writing, you know, the actual, reason why parents send children to schools, right? In fact, it breaks my heart. Apparently, less than one in four students can read at grade level. You know, you tell me what job, profession would demand a $50 billion pay raise when with those kinds with that kind of job performance, Greg.
Again, conversation I had with William Kelly this morning, talking all things that are some of the headlines out of Chicago, from crime to the schools to politics. You got the Democratic National Convention set to go in mid to late August in Chicago, where they're going to say, Joe Biden is their nominee. Make it official. But you've also got a ton of different protest groups looking to have their voices heard outside of United Center, where the convention is going to be taking place. But William Kelly, reporter out of Chicago, talking about some of the problems he's foreseeing.
Well, Craig, as you might imagine, we value free speech, but apparently not so much with the DNC. Mayor Johnson has not granted any permits to any protesters for any reason anywhere in the city of Chicago. Strikes me as a little hypocrisy. But yet both Pritzker and Johnson claim that the CPD, the Chicago Police Department, is ready for any crime or any protest that takes place. Yet, they're not obviously prepared for double-digit armed robbery with the same location, the same suspects, and the same description of the victims, sadly, on a daily basis, Greg.
So again, I appreciate William Kelly giving us a bit of a breakdown each and every Monday of some of the things going on in Chicago and just how kind of chaotic it can be. So that's a little bit of a digest for you. Appreciate him taking time. It is Bishop on Air. Like, subscribe, hit that notification bell. Join us each and every weekday morning, and we'll give you as much as we can in a quick digestible format so that you can get on with your day. It is Bishop on Air. Greatly appreciate it. Like, subscribe, and hit that notification bell. Thought I was going to be able to get you another segment, but I got to get out of here and get the work day started. But if you need to get a hold of me, I saw that Warsaw, he wanted to do a quick Discord. Do me a favor, email me, bishoponair@gmail.com, bishoponair@gmail.com. I got to get out of here and get that work day started. So you guys have yourselves a wonderful rest of the day. Hopefully you had a good weekend. Hopefully you had some time with your Mother's Day to see your moms, to talk to your moms. And to celebrate moms, everyone's got one. So hopefully you were able to do that. I had a great time with my birthday. Appreciate all the birthday greetings. And seeing those northern lights was definitely a wonderful addition and a pleasurable birthday present of sorts. So I got to enjoy those northern lights as a nice gift without any disruption to communications. So that's good. However, the big one could be coming soon. Who knows? All right, got to get out of here. Have yourselves a wonderful day. And be blessed.